Okay, this morning I want to speak to you about World War III. The battle for the top spot. You say, what? What are you talking about? There's a world war happening at this very moment. There's a battle happening at this very moment, a worldwide war. And an amazing thing is most people don't even know about it. Although every single one of us are in the midst of it, we are caught in the middle of it. All over the world there are hilltops being stalked by enemy soldiers fighting for the top spot on that hillside. What am I talking about? Middle East? Or where? Where's that happening? Where's the battle for the top spot happening? What do you think? Okay, I'm gonna share with you what I believe is a worldwide war. As you had the First World War, the Second World War, it affected everybody. Now the Third World War is happening in our lives. And it's not what you think. Let me tell you a story. There was a lady, and a young, beautiful lady. She was sitting on a luxury cruise liner with a group of rich people. And the one guy is a millionaire, and he writes a little note. On the note, he asks her, would you sleep with me for $10,000 tonight? And so he hands the note to her, and then she blushes, looks at this, and then she writes back and says yes. Anyway, a few minutes later, they're gone. And when they were alone, the guy turned to her and said, well, would you sleep with me for $10? And she was like appalled, like shocked, saying, what type of girl do you think I am? Well, he said, well, matter of frankly, he responded, well, we've already determined what type of girl you are. The question is, what is your price? That's all we're trying to figure out. You already were willing to, and then basically she was willing to sell herself for $10,000, and he was just trying to find out what is the price that she would be willing to sell herself for. Now you think, yeah, do people do that? Yeah, unfortunately, they do. And how it works is basically Satan knows that each of us has a price. Well, that's the sort of the philosophy that he goes by. Unfortunately, many of us do have a price. A price that we would sell ourselves, not necessarily physically like that lady, but spiritually maybe, or on different levels. And so I, in a sense, want to speak about this war for our hearts, a war for our, in a sense, our spiritual health. But the connection comes actually down to money, materialism. I'm going to read you the scripture. Luke 16. Verse 13, it says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so do you know what's the world war actually about? What's the battle? As that scripture says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Do you think that your battle on a daily basis is to choose between serving God or the devil? Is that our battle? Is our battle to determine, will I serve God or will I serve the devil? That's not the battle. The battle is, will I serve God or will I serve my stuff? Mammon, money, stuff, things. And I'm really praying and trusting. I mean, Sonic and I, we've been praying and thinking and reading and for months. And I'm just amazed how my eyes are opening to the reality of this battle happening all around us and also on the inside of us. But many of us are not aware. It's like a world war, but we are not aware. And so I'm really praying and trusting that God, the Holy Spirit, would open our eyes to see the battle that's happening. So I just want to pray for us. I just want to pray that the Spirit of God would come and reveal, because this, I can't do this on my own. I need the Holy Spirit to show us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. God, we pray, open our eyes to see the battle raging, to see what's at stake, to see clearly, according to Scripture, according to your heart, what's happening right now at this very moment in our lives and in this world. God, we thank you for this, so you'll open our eyes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you realize in the history of the world, there's never been as many stuff as today. As many glittering, fancy, nice, convenient stuff. iPods, iPads, nice watches, nice clothes, Woolies foods. I mean, convenience like never before. And most of us would say, this is wonderful. This is a blessing from God. Is it? I want to look at that. Is all of this truly a blessing? And yes, it is a blessing, but it can be not so much of a blessing as well. I believe in the history of the world, there's not been as many temptations as there are at this very moment in our lives when it comes to materialism, as it comes to worldly things, as it comes to beautiful, pretty, nice thingies. And so in that sense, there is a battle for the top spot in our hearts. God or stuff? A Romanian pastor that came out of the communist era, he said, on this quote, it should be on the screen, in my experience, is it there? In my experience, 95% of the believers who face the test of persecution pass it, while 95% who face the test of prosperity fail it. He says 95% of believers who face the test of persecution, they pass. But 95% of those who face the test of prosperity fail it. And we still don't have that. Okay, another quote. John Steinbeck, he wrote to the Washington Post about 40 years ago. And he said the following, a strange species we are. We can stand anything God and nature can throw at us, save only plenty. If I wanted to destroy a nation, I would give it too much, and I would have it on its knees, miserable, greedy, sick. Makes you think. What's happening to our country? What's happening to our leaders? They're just having too much, and we're becoming sick, greedy, miserable. The power of stuff. Could it be that having too much could actually be a curse? What do you think? Could it be possible that having too much could be a curse? Could it be that the worst day of your life might be to win the lotto? Could it maybe destroy you? It could. Jesus actually spoke about this. He said in Matthew 19, verse 23, Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. How hard, Jesus? Well, it's hard for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. How hard is that? Eye of a needle. Camel? Problem. Gonna struggle. Jesus, it's impossible. But then Jesus said, well, what's impossible with God or with people is possible with God. But why was Jesus saying this? Or maybe let me ask you this. Are you rich? Anybody that feel they're rich, please raise your hand. I am rich. If we do look at the stats, most of us in this place are probably in the 0.01% of the world population. Something like that. It's just scary. We are rich. Jesus said it is very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Phew. I've read that scripture often, but I'm seeing it in a different light today. I don't know if you're starting to see something here, but I'm trying to. I'm really trusting God will open our eyes to see. So there's a trap that happens for us, and I think especially for Western Christians, where we come to a point where God might actually ask us, well, if I look at your life, if I look how you pray, you actually asking me to help you to serve your stuff. Go evaluate our prayer sometimes, the way we pray. It might just be that we're actually asking God to help us serve our stuff. And so God is saying, are you going to serve your stuff and have me help you? I don't think so. I don't want that. I don't want to do that. I want you to serve me. And so money is like a wild beast. Money is like a wild beast. Money may be temporarily under our control, but we must always regard it as a wild beast with power to turn on us and others if we drop our guard. Money and possessions are dangerous. I think, where on earth are we going today? Where are we going? It will make sense in a moment. But so there's a fight for the top spot. If you would look at your life as a hill and the top spot being like your heart, then there is this battle going down. From every side, enemy soldiers are creeping up to the top spot. Now, if we would look at those soldiers, then we'll see the one. It looks quite familiar. It's my fridge. It's crawling up to me, especially if it's a new one. I don't know if you know, if you're new, anything new, it's like, it's just me, but it's my new fridge. Ay, 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 so amoy. And so your fridge is coming for you. And then your new car. Oh, if somebody scratches my knee, I just got it today. If it's scratched today, I will die. Have you ever experienced that? New, fancy something new. Maybe your iPhone or your iPod, it's fresh out of the box. Your new cell phone, you've been waiting for months. You have it. And you're playing with it. It's wonderful. Your phone is crawling towards you. I want you. I want you. And so that you're on the top of the hill, you've got your gun out, you're ready, it's world war, and then all these things are crawling up the hill, and it's wanting you. The new stuff, they're on top, they're the closer, the older stuff, they're more, nah, it's not such an issue anymore. You know what I'm talking about? We all have this battle, this the things that become so special to us. It's amazing. Andy Stanley, who's one of my sort of heroes, I really enjoy him. He says he never buys anything that he's not willing to loan out immediately. Because if he's not willing to loan it out, then he's putting that possession above people. So how's our relationship with our possessions? Are we willing to loan it out right from the start? And so in a sense, to give you the bigger picture as well, originally God made everything to bless us. He made the world, he made thousands and thousands of good things, gifts to his children, to Adam and Eve and to mankind. He said, these are everything I want to bless you with. And God, he was enthroned in the hearts of people. And stuff was on the outside, and they were a blessing. They were a gift from God, and so everything was fine. But then sin entered. Sin entered the hearts of man. And then the corruption came in. Then, because of our hearts, the state of our hearts, God was pushed out, and stuff started to take the place of God. And it's not that stuff or things or material things have any power of themselves. It's because of the corruption of our hearts. It's because of us trying to look to other things to fulfill us and to give us peace and to give us, you know, substance or confidence or anything like that. So anyway, these things became these wild beasts because of the state of our hearts. And so it is gunning for the top spot. It's worse than you think. It's worse than what we think. It's a world war. It's a world war. Because as that scripture said, you cannot serve God and things. God is pushed out, and we go on with our Christianity or our religion, but we use God for our stuff. And it really is, if you actually go study it and you evaluate the modern gospel, so often leads us into pursuing material things and not God. There was an advert in a Christian magazine that said, God loves you and has a great plan for your bank account. That's sort of the modern gospel. God loves you and he's got a great plan for your bank account. But then you have guys in China or in other nations that had everything. The one guy was a professor. He had everything, family, children. He was a great position in a university in China. He had possessions, nice car, nice house, everything. Then he turned to Jesus. What happened? He lost everything. Lost his job, lost his car, lost his family. But he turned to Jesus. Anyway, interesting. Okay, so what am I trying to say? Am I trying to say, you're like, whoa. Hold the horse. What must we do now? What are you trying to say? Well, should we live in abject poverty? Should we go live in a shack? Not your own shack, you must rent it. Should we do that? Is that the only way to be truly spiritual and know God? No. You see, there are two extreme philosophies when it comes to money. The one is materialism, where money is the center, the object, the focus. The other one is asceticism, the other side, where it is all against. Materialism versus asceticism. Now, Martin Luther, he explained this very well. He said, mankind is like a drunkard. We get onto a horse and we fall off to the left. Then we get onto the horse again and we fall off to the other side. Falling off to the left is materialism. Falling off to the right is asceticism. That's saying that stuff is evil. You shouldn't have stuff because stuff is evil. That's asceticism. That's not biblical. Things are not moral by themselves. Money isn't evil by itself. It's not moral. It can be used for good or for evil. It depends on who's holding it. Okay? So things by themselves are not evil. And so there's this tension going to the one and then going to the other side. And if we look at the history of asceticism and the monks living on the hilltop with nothing, that's not biblical. It's not the way God wants us to. The devil doesn't mind which side you fall off. He doesn't mind. Because if you give away everything, well, not give away everything, but if you live like an ascetic, then you actually can't bless and you can't give and you can't maybe do the will of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ lived simply, but he was not an ascetic. Okay, so that's very important to know. Spirituality is a matter of the heart, not one's material circumstances. But we need to know that stuff can be like a beast, a wild beast that can turn on us if we don't have it under control in our hearts. And so this is what John Calvin says in that quote. He says, where riches hold the dominion of the heart, God has lost his authority. Where riches hold the dominion of the heart, God has lost his authority. God has been pushed out. Stuff takes top spot. And that's what we then pursue. This is hard. This is really hard. This is, I get attached to almost anything. It's amazing. If it glitters and it's new, it's a gadget. Come on. Bring it on, my gadget stuff, you know. But who's got the top spot? Okay, so why are we speaking about this? And why are we having a month of stewardship, talking about biblical stewardship, talking about money, talking about finance? Why? When I explain to you, it's about bringing money into the light. A few quotes here. First one, Richard Halverson says, Jesus Christ said more about money than about any other single thing. Because when it comes to a man's real nature, money is of first importance. Money is an exact index to a man's true character. All through Scripture, there is an intimate correlation between the development of a man's character and how he handles his money. You see, I can tell you, I trust in God. I'm a man of God. And I can look very spiritual. But then you have to go look at my bank account. You have to go look at where I swipe my credit card. You have to look at where the money goes to actually determine what I believe and who I am. Because that speaks clearly. It's an exact index. But it's amazing how you can often speak about anything except money. Why? Because Satan wants money in the dark. If it's in the dark, it's under his control. But if we actually speak about it, then we can become free. And that's what we want to do. We want to speak about it and equip you guys. And that's why we're reading and studying. And I say, God is doing amazing work in my heart. It really is quite astounding. But when money is kept in the dark, that's where Satan wants to keep it. It says there in that quote, it speaks about a man's real nature. And then it speaks about an intimate correlation between the development of a man's character and how he handles his money. Basically what it means is follow the money and find out where the person's heart is. Follow the money and determine how that relationship is with the living God. Follow the money. Follow the money. Jesus, another quote, Nelson Searcy. Jesus was never afraid to talk about money. If we were to teach about money as much as Jesus did, we would have to make it our topic every third Sunday. Every third Sunday. Okay, we're not going to do that, I think, but amazing how much Jesus spoke about. Why? Because Jesus knew that this issue of money and possessions has the power to consume and derail us more quickly than anything else. It has the power to derail us and to consume us more quickly than anything else. You see, what happens is our hearts get attached to things. The roots of our hearts, they like grow into things, into our job, into our salary, into our stuff, into our things. And these things become our life source, or so we think. And that's why it's so terrifying sometimes to let go. Because you feel as if your whole being is connected to these things. And God knows that. That's why Jesus spoke about this so often and challenged people about it so often. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So treasure, that which is valuable to you. What is valuable to you? What is precious to us? Because we'll find our hearts going there. And that's why God says we must put our treasure in heaven so that our hearts would be with him and not on earth. And so our roots sink into these things. So, how materialism brings us to ruin. Yay, this is good stuff. Materialism is being money-centered and things-centered rather than God-centered. A materialist attaches the wrong price tags to the things of this world and compared to the things of God. In other words, at the root problem, often for somebody that's focusing on things, is that we value the things more than we value the things of God. Again, it's our eyesight. It's how we value things. God says we must value eternal things and treat earthly things as temporary. For instance, ever been to a funeral? If you've been to a few funerals, you should check out the caskets. You must see that they're all the same size. Have you noticed? The caskets are all sort of the same size. Nobody's taking anything with them. The house isn't in there. The boat isn't in there. The money isn't in there. It's just them and their casket. We can take nothing with us. We can take nothing with us. But if we look at how we live, you would think that we're taking everything with us. I'm talking about myself as well. So, everything material we have, including money, is either a tool or an idol. It's either a tool or an idol. Everything we have, including money, is either a tool or an idol. If we fail to use it as a tool for God's intended purposes, it mutates into an idol. The wild beast turns on us. Use it or it will use you. So, yeah, a few things. Just quickly, just want to mention them to you. I can't go into the details. The eight things, or there are more, but how materialism brings us to ruin. Number one, materialism prevents or destroys spiritual life. Number two, materialism blinds us to the curses of wealth. Number three, materialism brings us unhappiness and anxiety. You must listen to the quotes of millionaires and billionaires. They will say, like Henry Ford said, I was happier when I was a mechanic before I made my empire. Other guys also say that, you know how much stress it takes to look after $200 million? It's killing me. The curse. It brings unhappiness, anxiety. Materialism is the mother of anxiety. Often is. Materialism ends in ultimate futility. Number five, materialism spawns independence and self-sufficiency, which are deadly to the faith. It might actually be better to have less and trust God than have more and not trust God. Number six, materialism leads to pride and elitism. We start looking down on those who don't have. Number seven, materialism fosters immorality and the deterioration of the family. You often find those that have too much fall into sinful things like immorality. Lust, love for money, and lust goes hand in hand. Number eight, materialism distracts us from our central purpose. So the more stuff you have, the more distracted you get because there's so much to look after. Well, living simply is actually so much better. Materialism is a fruitless attempt to find meaning outside of God. Phew, this buyer. But materialism is a fruitless attempt to find meaning outside of God. I can so relate to it. We so look at different places to find peace, to find rest. I don't know, but I think that's sort of a central foundational thing that we are all pursuing is peace, rest for our souls, for our hearts. And so often we're looking in the wrong places. As a Christian, we believe and know that nothing in this earth, on this earth, can fulfill us except Jesus Christ. As a Christian, we know that we are not made for this world, but we are made for heaven. That's our destination. That's why it wasn't so bad for believers in the past to die, because they have an eternal hope. Home is heaven. They're free. They're not temporally focused. They're eternal focused. Modern Christians, we're the other way around, myself included. We are temporally focused and sort of eternally never-minded. And because of that, materialism has the power that it has. If we were eternally minded and see things from an eternal perspective, then earthly things will not get that hold upon us. It will not affect us so much, because we'll see, but that's not valuable. I know what is truly valuable. My God is valuable. The things He gives from above, that is valuable. Earthly things, they come and they go. But we get that often mixed up the wrong way around. And so I feel God is like really working in my heart, really setting me, and I think Sonic as well, as we've been talking about it, praying about it, and just, you know, we want to be free. You, do you want to be free? I'm sure you want to. Because materialism is futile. It will never bring you peace. Never. Jeremiah 2, verse 11 to 13. I'm almost finished. Has a nation changed its gods? This is an Old Testament prophecy. The prophet Jeremiah speaking to Israel, a nation. And says, has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for what? For that which does not profit. And that's sort of materialism. The things of this world, they do not profit. They do not profit. Another car, another house, more this, more that. It does not profit. He says, be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And so I think this is just a picture of modern Christianity. If you go read in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, the letter that Jesus gives to John, to the church of the Laodiceans, which is basically a letter to the modern church, where it says, you say you are rich, but you don't realize you're desolate, you're poor, you're miserable, because you think that stuff makes you rich, and it doesn't. And so in the same way here, what the prophet is trying to say is, imagine this, it's like people in the desert, and they're scooping up sand and eating it and getting sick on it, eating sand and dying on that sand, while just a little bit away, there's these cool, wonderful, pure, living waters. God, living waters. And he says, but my people have forsaken me. My people have gone astray. My people, their hearts have turned to material things. Their hearts have become corrupted. God has been pushed off the top of the hill, and other things are coming in. Materialism is a dead end street. It's utterly self-destructive. Yeah, good news this morning, eh? This is liberating, if you realize it. Because what are you pursuing in life? My retirement. Living for my retirement. Living for this. Pursuing, worrying about next month and next year. When God says, don't worry about next month and next year. Just do now and be faithful now with what I put in your hand. I will provide. I will come through for you. Don't worry about those things. So what do we do? This whole month we're going to speak about how to become free, how to come to a place of peace. But I just want to share one thing this morning, what I believe we can do. Well, first thing is get eternal perspective, okay? But how do you do that? Colossians 2, verse 6 to 7. I'm just ending off with this. It says, Beautiful scripture. Just been meditating upon this the last few days. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. How did you receive him? By faith, by trust, like a child. You started there, now continue. Continue trusting him like a child. And then this, let your roots grow down into him. And let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Let our roots not go down into material things, but let our roots and our hearts go down into God. How do we do that? Practically speaking, the morning watch. There is no way, and this is the starting point, there is no way that you or I can get an eternal perspective if we don't spend time with the eternal one. There is no way. Every day we go out into a war zone. And if you have not had a morning watch, what's a morning watch? Every morning you get up, you take your binoculars, you're on top of your hill, and you're checking out your enemies. Hey, fridge, coming close. Hey, my car, yay. But so you recalibrate. Every morning, you need to recalibrate. Every morning, we need to spend time with the eternal one so we can get an eternal perspective. And then do this one thing. Pray this prayer. And say, Lord, I surrender it all to you. So what do? You're on top of your hill. Enemy troops coming in from every side. You're saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I am overwhelmed with marketing and commercials. And I hear the iPhone. It's calling me. I hear it. Do you hear it? It's calling you through the TV and the radio and the internet. iPhone. It's coming. And you come to the realization, God, I can't do this. This is overwhelming. This is overwhelming. The enemy is too strong. So you take out a small little white flag. And you don't surrender to your stuff. You surrender to God. God, I give up. Lord, I give over. God, my job, I give it to you. I lay it down. I don't worship my job, Lord, I worship you. God, I lay down my stuff. God, I lay down my positions. God, I lay down all the things that I am attached to. White flag. Surrender. Every morning. Every day. As if your life depended upon it, because it does. If you don't spend time with the Eternal One, you cannot get an eternal perspective. Sonic and I have been speaking about this, and we realize so few people actually know how to have a quality, personal, devotional time. And so we're reading some books and studying about it. So we're going to do a series in the middle of the year, and we're going to give you tips and ideas and strategy and a plan so that you can help you in your personal devotional times. Because most people come to the Bible and say, what now? Don't know what to do now. You need to have a plan. And you need to spend time with the Eternal One. Okay, just to summarize. World War III is happening at this very moment. And you are in the midst of it. You are on top of a hill. And your stuff is coming for you. What are you going to do about it? Get to a morning watch. They say in that a few hundred years ago, they had a huge revival somewhere in Europe. And every day was a revival amongst students, amongst young people. And they would, every time they would like greet one another or say goodbye, they would tell one another, remember morning watch. Remember the morning watch. Remember the morning watch. You need a morning watch. You need to spend time with the Eternal One. I want us to end off with that song, I Love You More Than Life. That one. Could we stand? Just want us to bring our hearts before the Lord. And I want us this morning, if you would be willing, to put up a white flag and say, God, I surrender to you. And I put you top. I put you first. Because that's where I have peace. That's where I have freedom. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord, that just opens our eyes to see. Thank you, God, that you love us so much that you'll come and show us these things. And so, Lord, we declare we desire to serve you, not stuff. We want peace, not anxiety. We want to know the Eternal One and live for eternity. So God, we pray for every heart represented here. Help us, Lord, as we feel overwhelmed, just to put up the little white flag and to surrender to the One who loves us and died for us on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you loved us so much. Come and set us free. Set us free, Lord. Just take a moment, pray to God, put up a white flag, pray to Him, and just give to Him all the stuff, maybe the future that you worry about, job. Put up that white flag and just surrender to Him. Just going to give you a minute or two. To surrender it all is to imagine what it would be without it, and to be willing to still worship God even when you lose Him. Imagine a tornado coming through like it did now in America. 90% of towns just gone. Tornado comes through your house, car, everything. Will you still worship Jesus? Is He still Lord? So just take a moment and ponder laying it truly everything down. If you want to sit down, you're welcome to sit down. It's God, we come. And we acknowledge, God, that this war, as you say, it is very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. This battle is overwhelming to our hearts that get so attached to things. Just overwhelming. And so, God, this morning we ask, help us, teach us, and set us free that we may live for you completely. Lord, that our stuff would serve us, but we will not serve the stuff. Thank you, Lord God. We just commit this month into your hands, God. And we pray that you'll come work in our hearts. Teach us. Teach us the ways of God. Show us, Lord, that nothing in this world can satisfy us like you. Nothing can bring us peace but you. And so, Father, we pray for all of us that in our hearts we will turn to you more than ever before. Lord, that each of us will take a step or two closer. Maybe just run to you with everything within us. And so, God, I pray that you'll help us to set aside the morning watch as if our lives depended upon it. The morning watch to meet with you. The morning watch so we can recalibrate our spiritual lives. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see clearly. So I want to encourage you in this week. Set aside a morning watch. Every morning, shock the devil. Do it every morning for this next week. And just surrender everything to the Lord. Surrender everything. I want to maybe throw this out as well. I want to encourage you, set aside a day of fasting. Set aside a day of fasting. I'm just amazed every time I think, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it. Why must I do it? And then I do it and thinking, yeah, it was lekker. I just feel free again. So I encourage you, set aside a day of fasting. Just even set aside food. And in those times when you would be eating, just pray and seek Him and draw near to God. Amen. If somebody needs prayer, you're welcome to come forward. Give somebody a hug and join us for some fellowship.